sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And I don't know, you told me what we were talking about today, and I literally blocked it all out. So,
well, you're listening to the Church Planner Podcast, my friend. And the topic today is, why did I not make a big deal about Easter?
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
But, you know, it's funny because we have done episodes in the past about Easter and how to prep. And it's not too dissimilar from what I'm going to say today, but I'm in a different stage in my current church plan right now. So I got a unique take maybe this year. Just
that's interesting, man. You know what's funny is, okay, so as people have been long time listeners, first time callers to the podcast, they know that I'm like a serial entrepreneur, right? I run different companies and stuff. So one of the main companies my main company that I got right now, we do a lot of tech services and ad services for specifically the martial arts community. And it's because of my partner in that, his connection to the industry. So one of the things that my partner, Dwayne, has always, him and his wife, Lauren, teach their members is to do community events, and you use that as a way to reach out to the community, and you get them essentially into your, to use a sales term, into your funnel, right? So that way you can talk to them via email, text message, offer them your martial arts program, or what our clients do is offer summer camp and after school as well. Well, the three main events that they're taught to put on every year: trunk or treat, pictures with Santa, and Easter egg hunt. And so I've been running Easter egg hunt ads for these guys all across the country. And I will tell you this, man, like if you wanted to actually reach the people in your community very easily, I have never in my life of doing ads seen ads this cheap before as running them for Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
And we basically set them all to a website. You know, it's got all the details on it. And we're like, hey, you know, how many people 5 and under are you bringing? How many kids do you got? 6 to 9 and then 10 to 12. Like those are the three age brackets. And I'm not kidding. It's between 30 cents to like 80 cents a lead to get someone into your funnel. So I got a guy right now who decided to wait until the last minute. He's doing his Easter egg hunt on Saturday, which is the day before Easter, because I don't know when this episode's going to air. And he's like, I haven't done any marketing. Can you turn on some ads for me? It's like a typical business owner, right? Mm-hmm. Literally waiting until the week of your event to get some people to it. And we've already gotten like 150 signups in the last day and a half.
Wow.
And it's like, dude, you could use that event to reach your community. And then, oh, by the way, we got church here tomorrow if you guys want to come.
Well, okay. So this is part of my thing, right? It always feels to me, and we all have an Easter egg hunt. I'll talk a little bit about that. But the marketing to the community piece, we did this back in Refuge Long Beach, where we had a big egg on there and we had a bunny with his butt bit off.
Didn't we see? I don't remember doing the Easter. I just remember the pics with Santa because I remember Don Stoner being so stinking skinny.
Yeah, and that was our cookie night. Yeah, we had to pat him out. I just found those pictures.
Skinniest Santa in the world, dude. That was so stinking funny.
Yeah. He was like, if you don't know Don Stoner, he's like a crazy mad scientist with this giant Santa beard, but he helped invent the compact disc. His dad helped drop a big firecracker in the middle of the desert. It's kind of a big deal. Nuclear bomb that went off.
We've had him on the podcast too.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, it's funny because for me, like, this is where I experience a slight disconnect. And that is that everything that the church becomes about at Easter and Christmas is nothing that the church is about, right? It's like, I don't mind like advertising the eggs, so to speak, but like, if you're going to advertise an event like that outside of the church on a Saturday, what you probably should be doing is making sure that conversations had, like you and I, we always threw events. I'm not anti-event. The Bible is filled with events like the Festival of the Tabernacles, right? These were big events. God uses big days. Every time Jesus goes into Jerusalem, it's during a feast. Every time he makes his big I am statements, it's during a feast. He proclaimed himself at these events because they were about him and he was fulfilling them. And God had feasts, days of feasting and days of mourning and remembrance. So these things all happened. Like Passover was this kind of mix of sorrow and joy together. But you have churches kind of lose their minds. It's like you can easily see through. All they're thinking is people, people, people. I can get more people, people, people. And it tunes back into what Church Zero talked about. And that is, it so easily slips into this love for your community and desire for souls. And I can't say, you know, looking at any churches or doing anything, who's doing what. But I know as a minister myself, it so easily devolves into a whoring after numbers. It can so easily.
I would agree with you that it can, but I would disagree with you that that's the reason why they're doing it. Like, you want to reach the community. You got to find a way to be a pillar in your community. You want people to see how much you know and care for them. Yeah. You've got to actually demonstrate it.
Yeah.
And that's what putting on some of these fun events do, is it demonstrates your actual love for the community. So I don't agree with it. Nah, but see, we're talking about the church planners, man. I'm not talking about the mega church.
Yeah.
We're talking to church planners. Yes. And they're never going to have.
Okay, so if we're talking about church planners, 100% going to agree. But even with us, it can become I just want numbers.
It can always be that. Like, we've talked about that for literally the last 12 years. It can always be that, right? Because it's always that as we talk about the difference between impact and influence, right? Impact and ego, right? And let me
pause for a second, just kind of give you guys that formula. Everything you do in life is a mix of motives. No, none of you out there is going to say, I'm 100% pure in my motive for whatever I'm doing. This is just real, right? There's always this tug between flesh and spirit, as the Bible calls it, but I often use the term ego versus impact. And here's why. The impact is that ministry. Like, I want to reach people for Jesus. I want to glorify Christ. I want to do all that. I want to reach the lost. Ego is, I need more people or more numbers to validate what I am doing so that I do not look to be a failure. And there's always a mix of those two things. Like with me, I'm always church planning right now, and there's that, I can feel it. You know, I just stop denying it or running from it and acknowledging it. And what that helps you do as a church planner is kind of like that old Native American, you know, there's a white dog and black dog inside of me and they're both fighting. And hopefully they're not boyfriends, Pete, but if they're inside of you and they're fighting back and forth, they asked the missionary, said, well, which one wins? And the Native American said, depends on which one I feed the most. And so what you do then is you're able to gauge, like, okay, you know, the black dog ego might be leading here. You confess it. You tell Jesus, you invite the Holy Spirit in to help you with it. So this is where I'm coming from. And that's why I was careful to say it can be. I just want to warn against that because.
Well, yeah, no, I get it. But the reality is I think if you start giving people excuses to not do events, to not reach the community.
Correct.
It becomes too easy to go, yeah, you know what? my ego was getting in the way. I'm not going to do. And it's like, no, you got a great opportunity right here in front of you to get in front of your community. And I'm not talking, I mean, first of all, our church planners, I think our church planners, it's never been their big issue of, look, I got to get the numbers. Like, you need to reach sustainability. I get that, right? And so many of them are trying to make a living off of a church plant, which I think is a bad idea, right? I think
totally bad idea.
I think you should
have
be
so much freedom, man. Right now, like, we don't have a ton of money, right? And if I told you how much comes in a month, you'd laugh. But here's the deal. We can spend every penny right now on putting out an incredible spread for when we gather, right? Like, it's cool. People come to church and are like, this is rad, man. Like, we're actually going more back to the pillar model. But I'll tell you, the way that this is the way, like, let's just cut straight into what do you do then, right? Because I agree with you. That's why I was saying, like, Jesus used big days. You want to use big days. Statistically, people, and this is what I've been telling my church, because 85 people that were polled said that they were 85% of the people polled said they were more likely to say yes to an invitation to go to church on Christmas and Easter more than any other time of the year. That they'd be more likely to say yes. 85%. That's crazy. So why would you not harness that? And so you and I, we're big fans of marketing. We love marketing. But what you need to do is, if you're going to market, that you not make the marketing the main thing. Like, you and I have always talked about, you don't replace, particularly when we're talking about, like, discipleship right now, you don't replace the responsibility of the church to make disciples. It's fine to have it, but you don't rely on it. You do it because, like you said, you want to show that you want to, first off, you got to tell your community you're there. Right? Like almost everything that Jesus did with his miracles and signs, they were signs. Like, he did them to create a splash. Jerusalem, why did the Holy Spirit fall and the men spoke in tongues? It gathered a crowd, right? Jesus gathered crowds, the apostles gathered crowds, and that was on the Feast of Pentecost. It was a big day, by the way. Church was born on a big day. Thousands of people saved. Nothing wrong with this stuff. But you got to keep the main thing the plain thing. And so, Here's where I start to get a little weird. When people, they gather all the people, and then what they come to, and we are talking mega church here, what they come to is some, like, charade, some weird version of a church service that's kind of lame, kind of cringe, and nobody really likes it. They're like, well, we're going to have our Easter pageant and this special Easter song and blah, 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 and often non-believers are coming in going, well, you might be bored of your everyday service, but I was kind of hoping, like, to get a taste of something spiritual, you know, not just a show poorly done by amateurs, like karaoke night. Know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it, because I was talking with one of my good friends here in Texas, and he was telling me that he and his son, at one time, they were attending this one mega church here in Texas, which, you know, that's kind of like just regular church is mega church here in Texas. And they were talking about their Easter service. This is a few years ago. And, like, they would refer to their Easter service as the Super Bowl. And so whenever they talk about it in church, everyone would start chanting Super Bowl, Super. And it was like, that's just weird. Like, and they were both like, this is weird. I don't, they stopped going there. They're like, we're very uncomfortable with, like,
it's so funny,
dude. Right. Like, like, it's just, I don't know. It was weird.
You know, that one meme that goes around, he goes, you people have lost your minds. That's how I feel it, like, around these times. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, literally, like, okay. So I'll tell you, I stood up. Last couple of weeks we've been talking, and our church, you know, our church plant's really cool because we've been in the building maybe 5 weeks. So there hasn't even been a runway. Like, we don't even have signs because this all happens so quickly. We're just ordering everything we need, you know, and that's coming before Sunday. Like, we got little, you know, we sit around the little groups, you know, little tables of, like, seven or eight, you know, little coffee tables, not like the kind you sit at like round tables at seminars. I find those send a different message. But if you recreate a bunch of little living rooms in the room, that's how we're doing it. And brother, I'll tell you right now, like people coming in are like, oh my gosh, this is like simple Christianity. This is amazing. The kids are taking part, man. Like we had a 4-year-old raise her hand or 3-year-old raise her hand and take part, and it made sense. We had an 8-year-old last week raise their hand, and people that are new are like, oh my gosh, like your kids are a part of this. Like how is that happening? We trained them. Like this is a family worship service. So we're not going to do any like, and I don't mind if you do like a special song. Don't get me wrong. Don't get mad all about that. If you want to do that, do that. If you want to do a solo and it's really beautiful and Christ glorifying, you do it. But here's what I told my people. I quoted that 85% statistic, which gets them all excited. You can see they're like, oh, really? So now's my chance. That's mobilizing people. Mobilize people. Get them to do the thing. The majority of Christians out there, 70%, came to Christ because someone personally invited them. Friendship evangelism, we call that. So become a part of that. Like, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but one of our women, our whole church is so active. They're mountain biking. They're riding dirt bikes in the desert together. We threw a church service out there not long ago. They surf. Like we're at the beach this Saturday, just everybody just surfing. Like that's what our church does. So this one woman, she decided to do pickleball and prayer. And she has this pickleball chat group and she renamed it Pickleball and Prayer and said, hey, I'm going to get there 15 minutes before. No pressure if you guys don't want to, but 15 minutes before, I'm just going to pray. Like if anyone has stuff going on in their life, she said every single woman in that group turned up. Wow. They're not all saved, Pete. There's a couple of other saved people in there. They all turned up for prayer. And she's like, what's going on? Like she's marveling right
now. Wow.
Because this is like, they're all getting like, I've actually, it's funny. I haven't taken my own church plant. Everybody's like, so is your church plant doing discipleology? I said, they're just starting to. They're now like grabbing the tools and doing, I didn't make it a church program. I just let them know about it. And they're starting to go through it. But like some people started last Sunday, they're just doing it on their own, which is great. But here's the thing. I stood up, gave that statistic, and I said, guys, now sometimes you see churches like kind of go nuts. Like they're going to just lose their minds on Sunday. I said, here's what we're going to do. We are going to throw a party. This is a big day and it needs to be celebrated. But we're not going to really do anything different than what we normally do. Because what we normally do is we glorify Christ by worshiping him. Now, I would push on a big day like this, we do it better. We do it more. We do it louder. We do it prouder. And I said, and then we proclaim Christ together because we have an interactive preaching, right? I preach 10 minutes. The people respond 10 minutes. I preach 10. They respond 10. And they're responding in their groups. So I said, look, we proclaim Christ. And I tell you what, I'm going to, with every ounce of blood and bone within my body, I'm going to attempt to glorify Christ from this pulpit as if a dying man to dying man. Like never before, that will be my aim, is to lift him up. He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That's what's going to happen here. Just know that. You can count on that. You bring unsaved people, they're going to hear about Jesus next week. They're going to ponder their eternity. They're going to know that Christ is beckoning them to himself. And you could just see, like, everybody's all lifted up. They're like, they're ready to go. And people afterwards, it's funny because we're starting to just hit, it's only like week 5 in the building. And there's this buzz afterwards. And Ralph Moore looked at me because he's part of us. And he looked around and he said, this right here is amazing. 40 minutes after we break up, people are still just hanging out and talking. And I overheard people saying, I could bring this person. I could bring that person. I could invite this person. They're excited. That's what you want, right? And next year, I'm going to market And trust me, like we'll be at that phase. If we marketed and a bunch of people came right now, we couldn't handle it. You know, we're like 30, 40 people, you know, like we're this little core team that just got out of the house and has just grown a couple people every week right now. We couldn't handle it. We literally would not be able to manage a big crowd tomorrow, you know? So we're kind of saying, let's just test our organic reach. And we're going to put probably triple the number of groups. We think that we're going to have more people, maybe double, but we're ready, man. We're ready for stuff to happen. We think it's going to be awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, you know?
Yeah, man. So, cool. so what to do on, so this question of why did make a big deal about Easter? I did. I just did a little bit differently. I did a little more organically. And you might be at a place right now where you're feeling like us, where as a church planner, you're like, you know what? I can't do a big thing because we are a small group and we can't handle capacity. But test your organic reach. Hopefully by now you guys have a way of communicating through the week. That is something that we do. We'll probably always do it. So we have something called the Abbey 3.0, and it's our third small group chat that, or not small groups, it's as a church is growing, we just have a chat group going. And we'll figure out a way to do it even better, probably using your system, Pete, that you came up with. You know, tell them about your system real quick.
Well, I don't know which aspect you're talking about, but
The way, because right now the way it is everybody can see everybody's phone number in there because it's just a group chat. But you have a system where we can still accomplish that with everybody. But it's not, nobody's going to see anyone else's phone number.
Well, I mean, there's lots of different ways to do that. Yeah, I mean, we've got a chat functionality. But I mean, there's so many services that do that. Like, that's not even that difficult of a thing. The bigger issue, I would think, is you have to keep control over what people start posting in there. Like you talk about having a no crazies rule in church. Let me tell you, you need a no crazies rule in your chat group if you're going to invite the whole church to it, because you're going to have people start to take over it.
Oh, and it's funny, man. I tell you what's happened is there's kind of a rule, like we don't use it unless absolutely necessary. And when we first got it going, it was probably 2.0. We had so taught people in the 1.0 version that in the 2.0 version, somebody started to put like this prayer that was political in there. And the other members said, hey, we don't do that in here, which was great because I didn't have to do it as a leader.
Right.
Right.
That's the thing that makes that stuff. When you start dealing with tech, man, like ironically, one of the systems that is the best for this, and only in this one capacity, is Facebook. And the reason is because in a Facebook group, you can make it so you have to approve every post.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, you and I know, my business partner, Dwayne, him and his wife, they have a marriage group where they help other people who are struggling in their marriage. And they have to use Facebook because they need that ability to, like, let's see what you're going to say before this thing gets posted. And they will filter things out and be like, no, this is not going to get posted. And you, ironically, and that type of stuff in the church, especially, because honestly, I'm just looking at this going, there are going to be people who are going to get in there. They're not really a part of the church, but somehow they got into the group. Uh-huh. You know, maybe they showed up one time, right? Whatever, the friend of theirs, and they will take it down, man, and down a path you don't want to go. So to me, I look at that stuff, you have to have control on it because of the crazies, the no crazies rule. Simple as that. No crazies.
No crazies rule. It's a good rule. Everyone should have it. Crazy rule is taken, by the way, guys, from Corinthians, where Paul says to the church there that if anything that they're doing, like tongues or whatever, makes them look like they're crazy, that they shouldn't do it. He says, if you're going to have someone speak in tongues, all things decently and in order. So one, he says two, maybe three at most speak in tongues with prophecy or interpretation and prophecy. Like he says, put a limit on it. You can't just have a three ring circus and everyone go nuts. And that's where he says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. So you have to sometimes tell the people that are doing this stuff, hey, settle down there, right? You're kind of making us all look crazy here, and following Jesus is not crazy.
No, but even it doesn't even have to be along those lines in those chat groups, because like you're talking about the political prayer. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people go in there and half of them are going to be, hey, no kings. The other half are going to be, you know, praise be to Trump. All of that. That's why you got to have a filter on that, or it does become a three ring of another type, like not even biblical, just like political and jazz.
But I do like the idea of like the market. It's funny because we're approaching, like we'll have a proper launch in the fall. And for people who are like, oh, dude, Peyton, I thought you were like first century guy. Like, what are you talking about launches and for? Isn't that like big box model stuff? Well, it's funny you should say that. In the New Testament, there are all types of church plants. There are house churches, there are churches in public space, like Lydia and the Philippians down by the river. There are, the mega church with thousands of people gathering a crowd would be Jerusalem, right, on the day of Pentecost, where they had a hybrid model, you know, house to house and temple course. That was their big gathering. So you look at that and you go, okay, so almost any model, and I would say any model of church that I find, I can justify. It's kind of like different versions of church leadership. Can I find evidences of a presbytery? Yes, I can, through the elders. Can I find evidences of a bishopric? Yes, I can. You find network leaders like the Apostle Paul, like Peter, right? Like James in the Jerusalem network. Can I find, lay leadership? Yeah, I can find that too. Congregational stuff. I can find all that stuff, right? But here's the thing. What if there's hybridization? And as I say in plantology, the mission fits the model. I would have never thought that noonday church plant would be the way to go. But let me tell you something. In a beach community, I've cracked something. And I've sat here thinking, this is the hardest church plant I've ever done in a beach community, which is ironic because you saw, I would have thought refuge, or I would have thought whales, you know, any of the stuff we're doing there. But nope. Beach community, and there is just something right now about noon church in a beach community. So people are surfing in the morning, they're playing golf. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And we're all loving it. We're all like we dreaded it. Now we're like, this is amazing. Because you get your whole morning, and then you get your midday, you know, and of course we eat together. And then you got your whole afternoon, evening. Like, it's crazy, brother. It doesn't take half your day. It's ironic. It cuts into the middle of your day, but it doesn't, you get two halves of it. You get one half of your day back. It's hard to explain. It's like a TARDIS on Doctor Who. I can't explain it. But the weird thing is that, I don't remember what I was going to say, Pete.
It's because you found a stain and you had to go clean that stain.
You know, I found a dust. It was like old ancient dust on this part. I moved some stuff around on my desk last night.
I found Which, it. By the way, I don't, that thing in front of you, what is that? Is that like a spit?
That's my mic. That's
what my is that, big, like the biggest mic
giant
in the world?
Honking micro. That's a through the word mic, man. You need some serious tools. That's not even all of it. I have to put this whole thing up, and sometimes I drape a blanket because the acoustics on through the word matter so much. And if you listen to my early stuff, I didn't understand all that. So my early recordings, I'm like,
I'm just surprised you don't have a little sticker on the back of it that says Discipology. Because I'm like looking at the thing going, this is what I would expect to see from Peyton Jones.
Oh, I don't have my book showing today, but maybe during Dave Ferguson's I will. So here's the thing, right? This is what I was going to say earlier, is that what we're doing right now is testing our organic reach, starting where Jesus started in discipology, harnessing our existing relationships before we go out on the road. And I really like this because our people have been chomping at the bit. We had a guy, he invited two people last week, week before last. And he said, oh, I thought we weren't supposed to invite people till Easter. And one of our co-pastors was like, no, where'd you get that from? He's like, oh, I just, he had mentioned inviting people on Easter. So I've kind of been waiting. The second we said no, they were on the pickleball court that morning. He right away invited two people off the pickleball court.
Dude, that is so funny, right? Because that's like, you know, I always talk about there's two conversations going on. Conversation in your head, the conversation in their head. And that's a conversation you never would have realized was going on in their head had he not brought it up. But I wonder how many people think that. Well, I can't invite anybody because it's not Easter yet.
That's it, man. I mean, it is. And this church that we're meeting in is so cool, man. Like, this is our plan, right? We're meeting in this church. They're a little Baptist church. We're Free Methodist. They are so kingdom-minded. It's New Song Carlsbad. They have just been the coolest. And we, we're meeting with them in the afternoon. Or sorry, we're meeting, we see each other in passing as we're coming in to set up. They're leaving, kind of shutting down everything they're doing. And there's just such a good spirit. Like, some of our church came and weeded the front bed for them because they had just mentioned we're going to weed this. And one of our people said, we'll come do that. So they weeded for them. Then our worship leader and co-planner, Bo Moffitt, he ended up, somebody, the guy who's kind of the caretaker, mentioned, yeah, I got to run some cable, but you know, it's an elderly congregation. So Bo goes, well, let me come up and hop in the attic and I'll run that cable for you this week. Done. So and then they are throwing a Good Friday service this Friday night at 6. Now, we could run our own, but we decided, let's just go to theirs. You know, we talked to them about it, and it's encouraging to them because they're going to have people and we can invite people to it. And there's such a kingdom overflow right now. They're being so cool. Like, they're like, hey, use our coffee, you know, maybe just buy some, but don't worry about buying all it. Just replenish stuff if you see it getting low. And it's a dream, dude. We're in such a dream. We have storage there. I'm actually probably going to run an open training center there once a month. Like, that's how I met Bo and so many of the other people I ended up working with was, you know, I started training planners for free. And we may start doing that again, but this time we got Ralph Moore. He just moved into the neighborhood a couple weeks ago to be close to the church. So we're going to start throwing like sessions. Just
when you say he moved into the neighborhood, do you mean he physically moved like where he lives?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he lived close to an hour away. And Bo's a realtor, so Bo just was like, you guys got to get up here, because he moved there to be close to his daughter. But then she moved away 3 years later. And so Ralph and Ruby were down there. We're like, you guys got to, we just meet with him every month for pizza. We're like, you guys got to come up to us. Come on, come up and hang out with us. So it's insane right now, brother. If I told you some of the people that God's bringing to this church plant, you're like, Bo and I sat around yesterday just having a beer and we were like, dude, what is God doing right now? Like, it's kind of crazy. So this is my, I'll just tell you guys outright, this is my Ephesus hub. This is my third missionary journey, so to speak, right? First one in Wales, second one in Long Beach. This is my third tour of duty, man. I'm in the beach communities of San Diego now. And I'm staying put, man. This is the hub. This is the Ephesus hub network. What I should probably tell you guys is when I bought the domain for the Abbey a few years ago, I bought 10. I bought the Abbey Carlsbad, the Abbey Vista, the Abbey, you know, I bought because we are not going to be one congregation. We can't. Like, if we keep the living room set up, the max we're going to have is probably 150, 200 people in this building. But if we, if we reproduce this out, and here's the difference. Last time I did this, I stayed for 9 months after we launched a bunch of churches, and then I moved to America. I wasn't there to support them like Paul was in Ephesus. Next, and then the next time I did it, I lived in San Diego, but was up in Long Beach mobilizing teams of people. And we planted a few churches out there, but I couldn't support the differences. I'm here. And this is turning into something kind of neat.
That's cool.
So you can kind of hear my excitement about it, but but what we are going to start doing is launching in the fall, and we're going to do all that stuff. You know, like one of the things, there's a new neighborhood of townhomes that just got built right across the freeway from us. Like if you stand out in front of the church and you look just across the freeway, because right off a freeway off ramp, you look and you see these brand new townhomes. And you're like, oh, those just got put in. So we're buying gift cards, Starbucks, you know, it used to be five, but now you can only buy, you could buy two drinks with 10. So $10, going to drop in a card, welcome the neighborhood. We're your community church. If you need anything, funeral, you know, yada, yada, counseling, let us know. We'll give those, welcome the neighborhood, boom, 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 every door. We'll get those. And so we're big on that kind of stuff. Showing love to the community and not to big up a crowd. Like you said, like there's a way to do it where you're like, I am going to serve you. The early church, and I think an Easter egg hunt falls into this, right? Like people see is like our service is going to be our service. Our food will be better. Our praise hopefully will be better. Our preaching will hopefully be better. I mean, I aim for that. Don't get me wrong. But it's the same thing. But the Easter egg hunt's a little extra like, hey, kids, it's Easter. I want to bless you. I want to bless our kids first, right? Then I want to open that up like anyone else in the community. I want to bless you. Anyone who brought their kids, we want to bless you. So we're testing our organic reach. Next year, I'll be marketing, you know, be doing all that. But I won't let it replace the discipology factor that should be there, that our people are actually making disciples on pickleball courts and sitting on their surfboards or whatever it is, you know?
Cool. I dig it, man.
We didn't really have any smack talk.
Should we
all not have a little bit? No, what's going on?
I don't know. I can't even think of what's happening in my life that's worthy of the smack.
Nothing is worthy of the smack in your life. True. True.
Hey, but for everybody in California right now who's been eyeing Texas looking to move, I got a great house for you to buy.
Mm.
I've lived in it personally, so it's got a little bit of the Pete stank all over it.
There's some stains where Pete walks by a wall. He's so muscular now. Like he's jacked. Like when he walks, he can't just walk through a hallway. He has to kind of push himself through a hallway.
But that is true. You know,
yeah, and it leaves like shoulder and bicep marks and tricep marks.
Well, you know, but it's okay because then you could say, oh, Pete was here.
It's like living in the house where the Hulk used to live. And who doesn't want it? You know, there's no smashed doors or walls or anything, but, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, come by my house. That's all I got to say.
You can say, I live in the house where Pete Mitchell, the famous podcaster, once lived. You can do what they do in Britain and put like a little blue plaque outside the house.
Dude, I should.
This home was formerly belonged to Pete Mitchell. And then you could put podcast magic happened here.
That's true.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Podcasting magic happened here.
So did you have any smack? Anything going on in your life?
Well, I kind of cheated because, I mean, I was talking about my church and Rob. I just peppered in my smack into that. But the book might still be at number one, Pete. I'm just saying. Discipology, get it. What I do need for you guys to do, if you haven't yet, is please leave a review on Amazon. I absolutely need before April 15th to get 100. I only got 26 little lonely reviews on there right now. I need more, and every review counts. You might think, oh, I mean, if this podcast, if everybody on here left a review, we'd have thousands. Like this podcast could fix that overnight, but it bumps it up into an algorithm so that people see it. And, you know, some of the comments, if you go into the reviews, people are saying things like, if churches followed this, it would revolutionize the church in the West. It would absolutely revolutionize our presence. And that's what I'm hoping to do with this book, is actually to restore to the church Jesus's model of disciple making. If we got that, that's what he left us. And he turned and said, do this. It's not do this in remembrance of me. Do this. What I just did for you 3 years, go make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I commanded. Like that is Jesus saying, everything I modeled and taught you to do, go do it now. Even though Jesus modeled it, we didn't pass it on. That's the problem. The book points out the reason there's a break in the chain is we tend to disciple how we were discipled or not disciple how we were not discipled. And the reviews right now are really good. And what I want is that when people are looking for a book, the algorithm kicks this up first. If we can do that, guys, we can actually start a revolution and a reformation in the church today. Now, I know it's not based on Amazon algorithms. Word of mouth is still the most effective thing, and the book is in number one best-selling slot. So maybe I should just relax and let that take care of itself. But if it kicks up in the first 30 days, 100 or more, it's a big deal. Like Amazon sees that and goes, oh, this is a new release that's generating a lot of traction. We're going to pour gasoline on that fire. So I need to ask you guys to help me to pour gasoline on the fire. Again, if everybody on this podcast did it, we'd have thousands. So I'm looking for 26 minus 100. What's that, Pete? My math sucks. I think that's like 74. Is that right? 74 yeah. People. That's what I need. 74 church planting souls.
Well, I think the real issue is like, how do I have time to write a review when I'm so busy doing my church accounting? I mean, I don't even know if I could do it.
You're getting so good at this. Oh man, that's good. You know, it was normally me that had to do this. You're getting good. Now the student has become the master.
What do I do? I don't know.
Pete, I don't want to leave you hanging because I definitely want you to have time for that review. So I know what's probably taken most of your time, Pete, is the bookkeeping that you got to do for your church plant. Because, you know, Lord knows there's just so many checks you're dealing with and so much accounting and finances. I mean, the money's just pouring into your
church. Is there a simple way to take care of that?
You know, it's funny. Ironically, you use that word. It's called Simplify Church.
Wait, what was that?
It's Simplify Church. And their website is just as catchy. SimplifyChurch.com.
Dude, I just had a flashback of MoGive when we're like, but there's no E. There's no E on the end. It's M-O-G-I-V.
M-O-G-I-V. We used to have people sing it. Nobody goes S-I-M-P-L-I-F-A-Y C-H-U-R-C-H. No one does that at conferences.
.com.
Yeah, hopefully we don't start something where people start going, simplify me.
Simplify.
Oh, yeah. Super Bowl. Yeah. Simplify. Oh, that would be so funny.
Simplify.
Yeah. This is why we can't have nice things. Yeah. Then all the people that are not on the inside track start going, hey, what have I come to? We could start some kind of cult like chant, though. That would be great.
We had one with MoGive.
The first time I saw that was when we did something that, it was the centralized conference. Remember that? With like, it was Brad Briscoe. I'm going to forget all the names. Forgive me. But yeah, the first time people were passing us, we were on stage there, but people were passing us going, M-O-G-I-V. So anyways, all right, guys. Well, hey, this has been the Church Planner Podcast with Peyton Jones and Pete Mitchell, reminding you. Take it away, Pete.
If you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
If you know that that's what you need to do, press 1 now. If you think Pete is full of smack, press 2 now. If you have no idea what you should do, press 3 now.